God, we do profess that we do believe. But at the same time, Lord God, we say, help our unbelief. We confess to you in our moments of honesty, Lord God, that there are times that we doubt, and times that we fear, and times that we wonder where you are. But Lord, our voices ring out that yes, we do believe. And so in these times we pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help our unbelief. And as we stand before you now, Lord God, we confess that Jesus Christ is alive. That not even death could hold him down. And with that truth, with that belief, Lord God, we know that no matter what we face in our earthly lives, in the name of Jesus, it shall be overcome. And so it is in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who overcame even death, that we say, Lord God, we do believe in you. We believe in your Son, and we believe in the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us, to protect us, and to help us overcome whatever difficulties we may face, Lord God. And so we lift up your name. We praise your glorious and holy name. And with confidence, Lord God, we know that you are our Savior. So we bless your holy name for the sake of Jesus Christ, who indeed overcame even death. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Please have a seat. Good to see you. Welcome if you're visiting for the first time. Welcome if you're visiting for the 100th time. It's really good to have you here today and to be able to share the word and to worship and hopefully have some time for ministry. But there's nobody better around here to give the word than Jeremy. So Jeremy, with no further introduction, that's you.
May I read to you a few verses from James chapter 4? James chapter 4 on page 1149. James chapter 4 in slightly different verses, which I forgot to tell you. I'm so sorry, Ruth. Beginning at verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. May I read it to you? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you sin. I was looking at this morning, reflecting on it and thinking about it, and then just opened the post which arrived. There was a letter from the Church of England Pensions Board, which is always a slightly kind of salutary moment when you get that at about this time of year. And I opened it and it was the normal gumph, except of course now I'm 60, there was a special note in it which talked about what happens if you die in the next 5 years. They wanted me to be clear that, you know, they wouldn't nick all the money, that there were things in place. And, you know, there were marvellous things like, you know, we realise you've reached at a point of life where this will be of interest to you. Well, I had reached a point of life, but it wasn't particularly of interest. So I was rather hoping to see the next 5 years through. And it went on about what would happen if it was next year or the year after. By the time I'd finished reading all the different possibilities over the next 5 years, I really thought, what a pity I didn't make my bed properly this morning, because I'd hate to die this afternoon and for someone to find my duvet not straight when they go and clear out the flat. But it was just exactly what I felt James was talking about here in these particular verses. It's really how to live as a Christian if you're a busy person. How to live particularly as a Christian, perhaps here in the City of London or in central London generally. James is encouraging on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing things which are successful and encouraging us to be ambitious. He's not saying opt out of the world. He's not saying deny your gifts. He's encouraging us to achieve in every possible way. Writing as he was, particularly to those from the Jewish church, in Christian church in Jerusalem, who'd planted churches in different parts of the whole region. He was writing to a people whom he understood, people who would look at a map and think, I've done well here. I'd love to plant a business elsewhere, who would be going to a new place and starting on the ground floor and building up a business. It was to people like this that the Apostle James was writing, people who would be thinking, I'm doing well. I'm clearly good at this. I want to do better. I've got a real vision for what I could achieve. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I'm going to have to throw myself into it. But I know that God doesn't disapprove of what I believe to be my call to be involved in business and finance. He's encouraging work. He's encouraging success. He's also saying, this is something I'm interested in. This is an aspect of your life that is of as much interest to me as when you pause at whatever time of day you do and pray. I created you. I've redeemed you. I'm interested in what you're doing. But he is saying that if you're going to achieve everything and keep in touch with me, there are three particular tips that James gives to those to whom he was writing. The Lord Jesus underlines as we read it now 2,000 years later. And the first thing he says in verse 14 is keep humble. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that disappears for a while, that appears for a while and then vanishes. In prayer and in your thinking, you must constantly be renewed in a sense of dependency on God. That no matter what the vision, no matter how things are going, we need to be praying at regular intervals. I depend on you totally, Lord. I know that I'd achieve nothing without you that's of any value at all. I can do X, Y, or Z, but that really isn't important. If I'm to achieve anything, if I'm going to fulfill my potential, if I'm going to make a difference, I've got to depend on you totally. I need you so much. And it's a dependency which grows as we pray like that. We have to put it into words in order to keep humble. Keep humble, he says, first of all. Then he says, resist fear. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Making sure that we're right with God, making sure that our ambitions and our plans don't take us over, can sometimes lead us feeling, oh my goodness, I'm very anxious about this, I'm anxious about that, what will happen if that goes wrong, what will happen there or here? And he's saying, resist fear. It is really easy to be anxious, particularly if you're doing something entrepreneurial, or even applying for another job. And you think, goodness, I hope I'm as good as I think I am. I hope this works out. I hope they like me. He says, resist fear. Being dependent, knowing how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ, should do the exact opposite of making us afraid. Keep humble, he says. Resist fear and remain alert. In verse 16, and 17. He says, remain alert. Be those who know that God is at work in your life. He uses an interesting word here, translated arrogant schemes. The original word is the word that was used to describe quack medicine in the first century. When someone who simply was just peddling something that was not really what it purported to be. A doctor going somewhere and pretending he was qualified. Keep alert means you're dealing with reality. You're being honest about how things are in your work, and you're being honest about how things are with God. There's nothing that's pretend about you, nothing that's unreal. You're not repeating words and hoping you believe them. You're not doing well in business and imagining you're being dependent on God. It's you're being totally real before him. I have to say, I have a little cross in my bedroom at home hanging on the wall. And in the morning, I just sometimes spend a few moments just looking at this cross. And there's nothing more calculated to bring the cold light of reality into one's imagination or pretensions or thoughts. That actually the Lord Jesus sees you and loves you and has died for you. He says, make sure you remain alert. No pretense in your life. So here, 2,000 years ago in the city of London, he says, go for it at work. Absolutely no problem there. Go for it at work. But if you're going to be serious about Jesus, keep humble, resist fear, and remain alert so that you're dealing with reality. And I would love to pray for anyone today as the band comes back to lead us in worship. I'd love to pray for people for a renewed sense of commitment to work and the presence of Jesus. I'd just love to pray for more of God in the life of each of you. Band are going to play now, and I'm not going to get up again and interrupt things. But if you would like me to pray for you, and there'll be one or two of us up there, do come forward and join us at the communion table.